you know, every time I leave town or gone for a while, I'm always appreciative of you guys and how much you mean to my life. And I know my wife, Sue, and our family thanks you for your love and kindness. It's been an incredible journey walking with the Lord this many years. And the most incredible thing about it is the relationships that you build with people. You can take away all the, pull away all the hype and all the trappings of religion. You have one thing left, and that's relationships. You have people. God loves people. Amen? And when you love God, you're going to love people. Yes. If you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy strength, then love your neighbors yourself. So turn to someone and affectionately love them this morning. Just say, I love you. Amen. If you're by yourself, turn to yourself and say, I love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Travis. I heard a statistic this morning that was a little bit alarming, that by a Christian expert, that only 27% of the millennial generation attends church of any kind. And that was disturbing. It hurt my heart to hear the drop-off in people responding to the Lord at that age group. And it's actually said that age group is the loneliest generation on record because of the social media has actually done the opposite of what people think it's doing. It's not connecting people, it's isolating people. So that people are connected with smartphones and computers, but they're not connected with hearts. And so because of that, there's this isolation in that generation that's literally causing them to forsake the traditions of their fathers. And so we pray this morning for the millennial generation that God will have, there'll be a major visitation of the Lord in that age group. And there'll be a great turning of the Lord. I saw it in our generation when I was in that age group back in the early 70s. I saw a massive turning to the Lord through, I guess, generation, what were they were called, baby boomers. But now if the millennial age group, I saw that. So I know God can do that, and I know he's going to do that. We're get ready for the massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the millennial generation. Because where darkness is abounded, God's going to bring much more light. There's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I proclaim it, prophesy it, declare it, that the millennial generation will not be known and marked as the generation that's lost, but the generation that brings forth the kingdom of God upon the earth. Amen? Can you agree with me in Jesus' name? Amen. And it's not going to be because we try to relate to them where they want to be related to. We're missing that. We think, well, we've got to do this and this and this so the millennials will relate to us. No, they need to relate to the truth. They need to relate to the absolute truth of who Jesus Christ is. Not a watered-down version of Jesus, but the real Jesus. Amen? How many know there's a watered-down version that we don't want? We want the truth, the light, and the way. We want the Christ that comes to rule and reign upon the earth. Jeremiah, let's turn to that book this morning. I know most of you love Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a lovable man in some ways. Yet he was a thorn in the side of a whole nation for 40 years. But when we look in the book of Jeremiah, it started in my spirit because I began to wake up a few weeks back in the middle of the night at 3:33. And after several times of that happening, I finally came to the conclusion that God was trying to give me a hint. And, you know, the first time it happens, you think it's happenstance. But then it happens again and again, and at least three times. So let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three alarm clocks. I began to take the hint. So I began to search, what does this mean? Is it the number 333? And, of course, that has some significant meaning. But finally came to Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. And that's going to be what I pivot around this morning. But I'll be jumping around a little bit in the book of Jeremiah. But let's go ahead and read that scripture. I think it's something you're mostly acquainted with. It's pretty exciting. When he says this, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Let's read it together. "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So this was the launching, the beginning of something in my spirit when this revelation came to me a few weeks ago. And some of you have noticed some changes, because all of a sudden there was a new spirit of faith that was being birthed in my heart to believe God that we break through to the next level of experience and the next level of expectation of what God wants to do upon the earth. Realizing that we have been called to this hour, to this place, to this moment in history, to see something significant happen upon the planet earth. Amen? How many are glad that you're torchbearers, you're carriers of this anointing, of what God wants to do? And the anointing of the Lord is coming in this hour to bring to a people's heart and mind and refreshment to believe that if they'll call upon the Lord, He will show them great and mighty things that they know not of. And I'm excited to be a part of that generation. You know, Jeremiah is an interesting prophet, because most of you know some background about him, and the more you learn about him, the more you appreciate this man, because for over 40 years, Jeremiah was faithful to prophesy to a nation that did not receive nor want the words that he was speaking. Because of that, he was persecuted, lambasted, imprisoned, suffered much at the hands of his own people, and he became known as the weeping prophet. Because he had the quandary was this: he was prophesying two things. He was prophesying both destruction and restoration at the same time. And it was difficult for the people to hear that. Because we understand that when God begins to build his kingdom, he always builds it that way. He tears down that which is not what he wants so that he can build that which he wants to build. And so there's a process through the prophetic anointing that has the element of destruction. And that's difficult for us to lay hold of sometimes, because as Christians, we don't really want to hear the negatives. We want to only be reinforced by the positives. And I agree that the positives are far more beneficial to our thinking and to our mindset than the negative things. But in order to ever get to the place where there can be a construction taking place in our life, oftentimes the Lord has to address the things in our lives that are holding back His will in our life. We find historically in the scripture that not only the New Testament and the Old Testament, but both Testaments speak to us very loudly and clearly that the attitude and the condition of the heart determines what you actually become. You know, the book of Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that because their hearts were hardened, they could not enter into the rest of the Lord. So when you find a position that where you've hardened yourself because of the circumstances of life, or because of your upbringing, or because of the hurts that you've gone through, and you found yourself in a hard position, you find yourself in a resisting position of the Lord. Because God cannot deal with your hardness. Because the hardness of your heart serves as a barrier between you and the Lord. The Lord wants to communicate to you in your spirit. He wants to communicate to you in the innermost being of who you are. So we see that David would address this very aggressively. He said, "Create in me, Lord, a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me." He said, "Lord, the bones that you've broken, let them rejoice." So this whole encounter with the Lord oftentimes results in a devastation experience. We don't want the devastation because we're taught that in God everything is wonderful, and it is. But oftentimes when there's something in us that's resistant of the Lord, it becomes a devastation to us. Now, that's not what we are looking for. We're not looking for devastation. We're not yearning for devastation. I don't wake up in the morning and say, Lord, devastate me. Lord, resist me. Lord, be a thorn in my side. I don't want that from the Lord. I want the blessing of the Lord. But there's things within me that I have to simply let God deal with in order for God to get my attention to bring me into the land that He wants to bring me into. God has one purpose, is to bring you into His fullness, to bring you into the land that's flowing with milk and honey, to bring you into the place of abundance, to bring you into the place where every need is met. That's God's desire for you. God loves you so much, He wants you to enter fully into all that He has prepared for you. How many want to go to that place? Now, in Jeremiah chapter 1, if you'll turn back there, then we'll turn back to verse chapter 33 in just a moment. As the Lord's calling Jeremiah to this prophetic ministry, he's saying in verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, let me ask you this morning. Do you believe that God knows who you are? That even before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. And the Lord had a plan for you. Amen. Isn't that comforting? Before we were ever a twinkle in the eye, the Lord knew that we would come. That's why, you know, the enemy battles humanity and tries to destroy life before it ever begins. Because every life has a plan from God. That's why the spirit of abortion comes, to destroy and to kill and to rob the life that God wants to bring forth on the earth. And the Lord said, I want there to be life birthed in you because I know who you are. I knew who you were in your mother's womb. I formed you. And He's telling to Jeremiah, I've got a call for you, Jeremiah. You see, when God's DNA gets in your spirit, that's who you are. And that's all you'll ever be. When God's DNA gets in you because of your acceptance of Him and His plan for you, then that's who you become. Sometimes I don't want to be who I am. Have you ever woke up that way? Lord, why am I this way? Why don't I be that way? I mean, it would be far easier for me if I could have chosen the life of being a motivational speaker instead of this hound dog that goes after God. You know what I'm saying? Why can't I be the guy that wrote how to influence friends, how to make friends and influence people, instead of being this guy that stands up and declares that the kingdom of God has to come upon the earth? Because that's in my DNA. I cannot be anything else. Because of my encounter with God and what God has birthed in me, He made me who I am. And He made you who you are. Amen? So when you get the kingdom in you, the kingdom's in you. You can't help it. It's in you. It ruins you. See, what the kind of group you're in here this morning is a ruin me group. Because this is not a salad bar. This is a Brazilian steakhouse. Now you're getting me hungry, Lord. Ooh, Lord. You're making me hungry. Because see, it's like Jeremiah said, God, you put a fire in my bones and it will not escape me. Surely there was an easier path for Jeremiah than being a prophet during the 40 years. During this 40 years, you got to understand, started out with a pretty good king, but in the last few years of this king, Jeremiah came on board. But right after that, they had a succession of corruption that began to grip the nation. And each king was even more deceived than the previous. Till finally the nation had turned into idolatry and perversion. And it resulted in the destruction and the burning of Jerusalem. And all the prominent people that lived in Jerusalem were taken captivity into Babylon. They left a few of the worker groups there in Israel so they could farm the land and do all that. But all the prominent people were taken to Babylon into captivity. This was the period that Jeremiah was prophesying. And the word that was in him, this word that was in him was, it says in chapter 1, verse 9, the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. So see, I've this day set you over the nations and over his kingdom. Did you know that we, as the people of God, have been set over the nations? Amen. For the Bible said we've been risen with Christ, we've been lifted up, we've been seated with him in heavenly places far above all principalities and powers. And that we that serve the Lord, in the book of Revelation says, we shall rule and reign with him. So we as the people of the Lord that follow him, we have been lifted up into a place where we rule the spiritual realms. They don't rule us. We rule the principalities and powers. They don't rule us. We are part of the kingdom of God, which trumps and is greater than any kingdom that's upon the earth or ever has been or ever will be. The kingdom of God trumps them all. No pun intended. Hallelujah. Okay. He touched my mouth. He said, I put my words in your mouth. I set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. We, the body of Christ, are over the nations and over the kingdom of this world. Every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You're not part of just some local church located at 3406 Tarleton Lane in Austin, Texas. You're part of a kingdom that has been destined to rule and reign with Christ over all the nations of the earth, to rule over every spirit, every principality, and every power. Behold, the Lord has put Satan underneath your feet to be crushed. Wow. Man, you're loaded. Put your hand on my heart and say, I'm loaded. I'm locked and loaded. I'm locked and loaded. You are filled with the dunamis power of God by the Holy Spirit, locked and loaded to bring forth his kingdom upon the earth. See, a lot of Christianity say, Lord, let the kingdom fall on us. One day, oh, one sweet day, when I fly away, man, I just can't wait till I die and go to heaven. No, man, don't wait. Let some heaven come now. Let some kingdom be manifested now. It's not tomorrow, it's today. Jehovah, the right now God, manifesting to us today. He said, I want you to do this, Jeremiah. I want you to root out. And I want you to pull down. I want you to destroy and to throw down. Now, say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, look what Jesus did. Man, Jesus came and kicked it. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Wow. Jesus was not what some people think he was. He was a lot more than what they think he was. He came as the King of glory. He came to tear down. He came to destroy the works of men and to reveal the deceptions of the heart. He came as total against everything that resisted the kingdom of God upon the earth. As much as Christ came to do, he came to resist as well. That's why the age that he lived in, none of the religious people, very few, not hardly any, just a tidbit, accepted him. Because he came as a resistance to the thing that they had established that was opposite of God's will upon the earth. See, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he raised us for this hour is going to be something different than what man anticipated it was. Because we're going to be the representation of the heart of God upon the earth. Not the representation of who we think God is, but the representation of who he really is. There must be a people. There has to be a people that keep turning back to the Lord. No matter how many times you've turned to God in your life, remember to turn again another day. Because what we had yesterday is not what we need today. Today we need something greater. Call upon him today, and will he not show you great and mighty things that you knew not know of? Turn to the Lord with all your heart. Then he says, after all this building, tearing, all this tearing down, destruction, now I'm going to build and now I'm going to plant. Wow. You know what apostolic does, don't you? Apostolic represents the authority of the Lord. It's the thumb of God. And it comes to destroy so that it can build. Because the foundations that we build upon, we have to understand that if our foundations have been faulty, our house will not stand. Back in 1989, the Lord spoke clear to me. He said, unless I build your house, this house, you're going to labor in vain. That's when we were the fastest growing church in Austin. We were going to be the first mega church in Austin. Nothing wrong with mega churches. Don't get me wrong. That's fine. Bless them. But in my heart, I can't do that. Because the Lord said, unless I build your house, you're going to labor in vain. In other words, you could bring in the thousands and thousands and thousands. But the minute that the will of God comes to be displayed and manifested in the midst of us, he said, only those that have a heart will stay with you. The rest will leave. See, it's always easy to walk with God in the seasons that we perceive as blessings and identification. But it's difficult to walk with God when it comes to the place that we really have to yield and submit to him. That's the lordship of Christ. That's the separation that comes to when he becomes Lord of our lives. Instead of just the blessing to our life, he becomes the Lord of our life. Yes, sir. No, sir. Amen, sir. That's what it becomes out of our heart. Yes, sir. No, sir. Okay, sir. I'll do it, sir. Okay. Wherever it said in the Revelation, those that overcome will follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they do whatever he says. And they loved not their lives, even unto death. Wow. That's pretty liberating, isn't it? Whew. It all kind of gets better when you just die. You've heard people say that when people are dying. Oh, bless God, you know, you're dying. Okay. Now you're going to be at peace. It works. Yeah, when you die, you get at peace. I just can't find any peace. Well, then die. I'm just so anxious. Die. I'm so confused. Die. When you're dead, you're not confused. When you're dead, you're not anxious. When you're dead, you're not frustrated. I mean, have you ever went up to a dead person and asked them how frustrated they are? They just keep mum. Say, aren't you upset? Are you freaked out? You can slap them a few times and they still won't answer you. It's just something about dead people that are free. I'm glad I'm dead this morning. This is so peaceful, being dead. Wow. Because now I'm living. That's what Paul said in Galatians. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. In other words, I got up there and I died with him. Wow. Now, the life that I live is the life that he lives in me. Next time you're going through something, just find a cross. Go find your cross. Guess what? You won't be going through it anymore, because it's still going to be hanging on the cross while you're walking in resurrection life. Amen? I didn't mean to go there this morning, but I did. Pay extra money. Okay. Hallelujah. And he says in verse 12, or verse 11, he said, I see a branch of an almond tree. He's saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? I see an almond tree, a branch. And the Lord said, you have seen well, for I'm ready now to perform my word. Because you've been faithful, Jeremiah, because you're going to be faithful to speak this word, now I'm going to perform it in the midst of you. Guess what? Not one word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God will fall to the ground without bearing forth its fruit. So God said it. We believe it. God declared it. We base and stake our lives upon it. Amen? And so we're reminded so often the Word of God is so filled, chock full. This Word is chock full of incredible promises. Because God always wants to fulfill His Word within you, down to the very jot and the very tittle of that Word. To the very nth, ninth degree of the Word of God. He wants to magnify it and expose it and reveal it in you. Everything that He is in His Word that He speaks to you. And the Word of God was with us and dwelt among us. And the many has received that Word, to them He gave the power to become the children of God. Not one word that God has spoken in this covenant that He has with us right here, this great covenant of God, not one word is designed to fail, but all to be fulfilled. And Jeremiah kept proclaiming that to him for these 40 years. He's saying, listen, guys, you've fallen into this, you've fallen into that, you've fallen into this, but there's an answer for you. If you've fallen into this place of destruction, there's an answer for your life. You see, wow, where did I write that down? I wrote it down somewhere. You see, the greatest calamity that you fall into, the greatest challenge you fall into, has one solution. And that solution is in the Lord. In the midst of your greatest trial becomes the greatest opportunity to find the greatest release you've ever known. Your trial, this testing you go through in life, whatever it may be you're going through, if you are going through something, this testing you're going through right now has only one solution. That you open your heart and turn back to God. That you become a clear channel of receiving who God is for your life. Guess what? He will never fail to meet you in that place when you surrender your heart, your will to Him. It's all a matter of surrender. How much are we willing to surrender when we're being battled? How long have you been fighting a battle that you seem to be an endless battle with no chance of victory? I don't know if you've ever fought a battle a long time. I know I have. I've fought battles, and I fought battles and battles and battles and battles, and then after a while I begin to say, I'm growing weary in well-doing. I've been fighting this battle so long, how much longer can I fight? And the Lord said, I don't want you to fight anymore. I want you to surrender. And let the Lord, captain of the Lord of hosts, rise up to be your defense. Wow. Isn't it great when you finally come to that place that, God, I'm so weak. I'm so battled. I'm so been anxious over this issue, this problem, or this my life in general. And I surrender. The moment you surrender in your weakness, His strength is manifested. His victory is broadcast through your life. Wow. The moment you quit defending yourself, the moment you quit trying to do this yourself, and you surrender. And Jeremiah said that, come on, people of God, turn back. Please turn back. And it said he was a man of great compassion and weeping. He because of who he was as a prophet in Israel, he was not allowed to marry. So he was denied the comforts of family and marriage and wife. And because his message was so contrary to what they wanted to hear, he was universally rejected and despised. And in the midst of all that, he wept for them because he knew the outcome, what it would happen to their life. And sure enough, the prophecies of destruction came to pass. But in the midst of that, he kept a truth alive, a word shining in the darkness. He kept reinforcing to them this great truth of God, of what the promise of the word is. I don't know how he did it. I mean, how can you do what he did for 40 years in the midst of a decaying society that was hell-bent for leather? That he knew beyond a doubt what was going to happen to them because of their obstinacy in their heart, yet he kept preaching and preaching. Listen to me. This is what our God, this branch of righteousness, he calls him, the branch of righteousness is going to spring up. He began to prophesy about the coming Messiah. And he said, in the midst of that, God then will raise up a whole new generation of people, and shepherds will come forth with wisdom and understanding and knowledge that will be shepherds after my own heart. He said, there's coming a new day for you. And I'm telling you this hour, there's coming a new day for the body of Christ. Because God is saying, I'm going to separate the precious from the vile. I'm going to bring forth a people upon the earth to desire me more than they desire the things of this world. Wow. So no longer will the priest have to say, where's our God? No longer will the people have to say, well, where is he? Where is his presence? He's in the midst of us. Great is he. He's in the midst of us. Back to chapter 33. Wow. I'm going to get through earlier than an hour today. You guys are lucky. And I'm only doing it because the children are going to be baptized, and I'm anxious to go do that. I have ulterior motives. Let's start in verse 1 of chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name, Yahweh. Everybody say Yahweh. Call to me and I will answer you. Show you great and mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of the city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men whom I will slay in my anger and my fury. For all those wickedness, I have hidden my face from this city. And then he says this, and this is so contrary to what was actually happening. He said, this is about to happen. Behold, I will bring it to health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And we know when Jesus Christ came, he came in that very context to bring healing in his wings to the nations. And all that has been destroyed, all that has been torn down, Jesus Christ came as this great restorer, this great healer. And the beautiful thing, just right back in Isaiah, you know, we're very familiar with the passage in Isaiah 61. It says, the Lord said, when the anointing came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Verse 7, and I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return and rebuild those places as at the first. So we see that God not only heals, but now he restores. And let me tell you this morning, God wants to restore you. If you're in a place this morning that you need restoration, the Lord said, I am the God that healeth you. I'm the God that restores you. Everything that's been taken from you, I will cause to be returned back to you. The enemy came in and ravaged your city. He burned your temple. He burned your home. He took away your family. He took away and robbed from you in every single conceptual way he could do that, because the enemy comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life, and to give you life more abundantly. And all it requires of you, all it requires, is the turning of your heart, the yielding of your spirit back to the Lord. Because at that point of yielding and turning, that is where the Lord God will meet you. That's where the Lord God will heal you. And that's where the Lord God will restore you the things that have been robbed from you. Amen? And he says, next verse, I will cleanse them from all their iniquities by which they've sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against and by which they have transgressed against me. And it's so interesting that over in Hebrews chapter 10, he quotes the book of Jeremiah. And in verse 16, he quoted Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. He said, this is what's going to happen in this day when he comes. This is a covenant I'm going to make with you, that I will put their laws, my laws, in your hearts and in your minds. I will write them. In other words, this is going to become part of your DNA. This Christ man, this Savior, this Deliverer, this Healer, this God in you is going to become in you and in your DNA, that it'll become a fire in your bones as well. That I'll write my word within you. No longer will it be on the tablets of men of paper or whatever, but it'll be upon the tablets of your heart. I will write my word, and out of you shall flow rivers of living water, from that word that I put within you. And he said, I'll remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. And it goes on to say in that same chapter that this Christ that came in verse 10, he sanctified through us the offering of his body once and for all. And it goes on to say that every iniquity and every sin will be removed from your life. The God of cleansing and forgiveness. You sat here this morning blameless before him because of Christ, restored because of the Lord. And then it says in verse 4 of chapter 33, not verse 4, I'm sorry. It will says, verse 9. Then it shall be a name of joy, of praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do. Now, this prophesying this just at the point when Babylon was coming to destroy them and take them away captive. And here he's prophesying this. Don't you thought they knew? They thought he was a schizophrenic? Because one minute he's saying, man, this judgment's coming. The next minute he's saying, look, there's a tree of righteousness arising in the midst of you. There's a God that's coming that's going to give you all of this. Wow. So that's telling you and I this morning that no matter where you're at or where I'm at, the promise of God is greater than the thing that you're facing. If you'll turn your heart to him, rend your hearts and not your garments. And turn yourself fully unto the Lord. Everybody say, fully unto the Lord. See, when you leave this morning, you're going to leave in two ways. You're going to leave with the same bondages, the same fears, the same anxieties, the same trappings that maybe have caused you to be in the prison, or you're going to leave this morning free. It's your choice. You can hold on to the resentments and the bitternesses and the past, and the things that have been said to you that's been wrong, the things done to you that have been grievous, you can hold on to those things this morning and still leave in the prison. Or you can let go and let God. You can just say, God, without you, apart from you, I cannot achieve anything. But with you and you, all things are possible. To do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ask or think. So he said, I'll cleanse you, I will exalt you. Isn't it great that Christ came and paid the price to where took you out of the lowest place of existence to bring you to the highest level of expression? There you were nothing. There you were nothing. There you were lost and undone, but now you're with him, seated in heavenly places. Wow. There you were a loser. Now you're a winner. There you were destroyed, brought down low. Now you've been lifted up high above all the nations. It says that in Isaiah 60. It says, arise and shine, Isaiah the prophet of the kingdom. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So lift up your eyes all around, he says, and they will gather, they will come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be nursed at your side. And you will see, and you will become radiant. And your heart will swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles will come to you. And then it talks about camels covering the land. We can forsake the camels. Okay. Everybody want a camel? How many want a camel? Okay. If you want a camel, the Lord will give you a camel. Don't be surprised. Some of you wake up in the morning, walk out in the backyard, and there's a camel. Hallelujah. Woo! Be nice to your camel. Okay. So the Lord said, I'm going to exalt you. You're going to shine. See, that's the church's destiny in this hour. Where the church has maybe seemed to be anemic, lethargic, and passive, it's going to become the opposite of that. It's going to become aggressive, faith-filled, praise-filled, hunger-filled, aggressively seeking the will of God-filled people of the Lord. Amen? It won't be this thing that where we just come and we get a little touch of the Lord. We're going to come and get the whole double dose and the whole enchilada of God given to us the Holy Spirit of the Lord poured out onto us without measure. In the last day, the Lord said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and daughters will prophesy. My old men shall see visions, dream dreams, and my young men shall see visions. And you will run and not grow weary. You will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You will be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. You will have the mind of Christ, the wisdom of the Lord upon you. Now, if that don't make you feel good, you're in trouble. And the last thing, verse 11. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, let me say it again, for those that will bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. In other words, those that will bring their heart, those that will bring their lives and bring it to the altar, those that will give me everything, to those that bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, I will perform that good thing which I have promised to them, to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. When you become that people that bring a sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord, everything that God has spoken will be yours. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. That's why we come and we go, that's why we press into the Lord. That's why we worship God with all of our heart. That's why we press, because we want to be pressed up to the nature of God himself, so that everything he is imparted to us. Wow. Woo. Are you ready? Woo. Wow. Lord, let it be so. Let it be so. Let me ask you this morning, are you willing to surrender to God's will? That's the only way you're going to escape what's coming upon the earth. Not only escape, but that's the way you triumph. Lord, release it to us this morning. We thank you, Father.